Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and welcome to Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win. What's in the news? African family, freedom, wellness. Well, we'll be back in a couple minutes with that and more. Africa, where we experience self-determination, freedom, sovereignty, where we enjoy the freedom and flow of life and produce many high cultures that have been copied or attempted to be copied by everybody all over the world. Good evening and greeting, family, and welcome to Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win program, this program where we try to have a sobering discussion of the economic and political plight of black people globally and the economic, cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it on to future generations. My name is Brother Shibaka. I am a member of ULU, and I'm joined this evening with Brother Thurman, who, like myself, is an ULU member. Hey, greetings, Brother Thurman. How are you doing this this evening, not morning? And please say hello to the listening audience.
Greetings to you and greetings to all of the family, and I'm always delighted to be in the presence of good company and good African people.
Well, good. We're glad to have you, brother, and it's always a pleasure when you come on and stimulate us, particularly with your information dealing with health and wellness. So, brother, what's in the African family news this evening? What's going on?
Well, I would start off by saying that just for something that we must make the people aware of, and that is Us Lifting Us is coming up on its annual members meeting and convention, which will be virtual, and that's the Us Lifting Us annual members meeting and convention, where we are focusing on reconnect, recommitment, and renew. And ULU transformation for our present and for our future. And it's going to be March the 10th through the 12th, 2023, coming up next month. And you can register now at usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. And the ULU 2023 annual meeting convention is limited to members only. And if you are Black African, that would have to be, we would have to go through a vetting process to know that. But if you're Black African, you're eligible to join now, today, tomorrow, and become a ULU member, and you would be able to eligible to attend the annual members meeting and convention. And make sure, once again, that you can register now at usliftingus.com. And anyone that wants to contribute towards the members' meeting, make a donation, you can also go to usliftingus.com to do that. Brother Shibaka, is there anything else that I should add about the annual members' meeting and convention?
I think you covered it, brother. Yeah, please make sure that you go to the website that Brother Thurman mentioned. If you wish to be a sponsor, all right, you can do that also. We would like you to do that. We would definitely like you to become a member and join us and help us elevate us to move towards our economic goals of freedom and sovereignty so that in joining us, we can pass this information on. We can pass the sustainability of our life, you know, to our next generation. So all you got to do is look at your child's eyes, in your child's eyes, and say, what kind of world do I want them to live in? And then make the necessary moves in order to do that. But I think you covered it all, brother.
Good. All right.
So let me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I'll wait. Go right ahead, brother.
No, I was going to get into what news you saw popping up on the screen. I had a couple I wanted to mention, but I wanted to get this opportunity because I know that there's a lot of stuff and we need our brothers. Take out a pen, brothers and sisters, and jot down some of this stuff. All right, check this stuff out. We're always here to bring you information that will help you. And when it helps you, it helps all of us because then you go out and extend it to your family. So that's all I wanted to say, brother. So
yes,
go
brother.
Right ahead.
And we definitely want the news that you have to, so you make sure that you bring it forward. And I just want to start off by saying, Us Lifting Us, every Thursday we have the Dare to Win call. And we're calling on you tonight, who dares to win? And to win, to grow, to evolve, you have to go through discomfort and push yourself outside of your comfort zone. And comfort zone reminds me of this, something that I had talked about in the past, which is something that's real, is not in our interest, it works against us, but it's called comfortable oppression, which is to talk about there are African people that are in the mindset that they are comfortable with oppression. We have never, ever stopped being brutalized and terrorized. And so there are people that are kind of jolly and happy, and they wouldn't want to, they're not in the mindset to do what's necessary to have, to do the nation building where we can become free again and maintain our freedom. And I just wanted to mention that we, who dares to win? And ideally all of us should dare to win. And also in honoring Brother Malcolm X, he says, we cannot think of being acceptable to others until we have first proven acceptable to ourselves. And when we've proven acceptable to ourselves, then we would absolutely just want to be free and nothing other than that. The comfortable oppression has never gotten, it will not get us free. It will just keep us more oppressed, and perhaps out that could lead us to just totally being eradicated and no longer be a part of be in existence. Brother, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And I'm right here, brother. That, go ahead.
Yeah. And something that is passed on from African culture that's probably ancient, it used to be among certain African groups that when they saw each other, the first thing they asked was, how are the children? And if we practice that on a regular basis to ask that to each other, it would also put us in the mindset to really be focusing on how are the children. And a lot of the things that we should not be finding acceptable is a result of us not focusing on the children and making sure that we are doing the very, very best in taking our cultural values, our spiritual values, and making sure that we implant that into the minds of the children. Actually, it can be done in the womb and even before the womb, and certainly in the womb and out when the child is given birth into this physical world. And something I want to read, and coming from African ethnicities, it says, we desire to bequeath two things to our children, roots and wings. And that's an African proverb, and that's roots and wings. What values are supposed to be prioritized in training children? Teach them to be open with you. That's the only way to protect them. When you create an atmosphere that allows children to learn things, ask you questions about anything they're curious about, then that sets them on the right path. There's no parent who would intentionally wish to mislead their own children. Even if you don't have an answer to something, do some research and then respond. Obviously, taking care to give age-appropriate information them about boundaries and walls. This is in itself a big topic, but in summation, physical boundaries, teaching them the difference between appropriate, and I'm going to come right back to it. I just lost the screen. Physical boundaries, teaching them about them the difference between appropriate and inappropriate touch. Who should touch them and under what circumstances? Mental boundaries are what gives them freedom to voice their opinions, even if it's a wrong one. It's not about wrong or right. It's about teaching them to have a voice, or else they'll not have confidence to speak at all, even when they're right about something. Emotional boundaries. helps them to understand, first of all, that they have emotions, but emotions don't have them. I say that again, emotions don't have them. Feeling good doesn't always mean you've done the right thing, and feeling bad doesn't always mean you've done a wrong thing. Teach them to identify and how to deal with manipulative emotions of others. As they grow older, teach them that people have divergent views about anything, life philosophies, religion, culture, cultural expressions, etc., and teach them how to respond respectfully towards others without being manipulated by other people's views. Most importantly, teach them critical thinking skills so that they can question and explore these divergent views, that which has credible evidence, and put aside teachings that have no concrete evidence but only based on assumptions. And finally, see how much content there is to cover. It's not like this can be done by holding seminars or workshops with your children. It's done progressively, considering that your life partner is also equipped with communication skills and the knowledge required for this. But if your children are raised by other people, meaning the ones they spend most of their time with, like their school teachers, their friends, and housekeepers, if you have one, then don't be surprised if they're not emotionally connected to you in adulthood. You're the one mandated to bless them with roots to stay strong and wings to excel in life. And that was a word about African children. And to continue on, add some more, because what I just read was about the necessity to properly culturally and spiritually educate our children, something that we must do for ourselves and break free of the dependency and all of the problems as the result of having others set the curriculum to teach our children. And one of our master teachers, prolific writer of a dozen or more books, Brother Nwalamu Baruti, writes, "Credentials and classrooms are useless unless they lead us towards consciously applying knowledge to improve the quality of our community." And this is not a total put down of schooling, but if the concrete evidence shows that there are lots of people that have credentials, and when it comes to teaching us which would have us consciously applying knowledge to improve the quality of our community, we would be having massive success. So there are some deficiencies there that we must address. Brother Shabaka, before I go any further, did you want to comment, and you had something you wanted concerning what's in the news?
No, I don't. I'm looking here to see if anybody's hand is raised, because you laid out some stuff that you just read, you know, about the need for us to be able to nurture and educate our children, our youth, as they're coming up. And I think you pointed out, maybe you want to say it again, the dangers when you have other people. All right, but I think we might know that. But we might, you know, oftentimes we might need to repeat why it's important to do that and the dangers when you don't do it. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a huge danger in all subject areas when we don't do it, because then they can be walking around thinking that they know, but they've actually been made confused as the word dupe, which means tricked and deceived. And we've got to eradicate that confusion of the mind and make sure that we have clarity. It's got to be based on some concrete evidence and consistently true evidence. And in the school system, for example, this month that's been given to us, you might say, as Black History Month, originally would have been founded by ancestor brother Carter G. Woodson as Negro History Week. And a major work that he published, I believe, in 1932 was called The Miseducation of the Negro. And we cannot afford in any way, in any area, to be miseducated about nothing, about nothing. We've got to come back to high culture ways of thinking and living in high culture information. And among the most successful African societies, they were about high culture, and there's such thing in the history of African people called the high culture period. And they just accomplished things that no one has ever done. And it set the tone for the rest of the world that we taught in the world's first universities how to read and write and math and science and engineering and the first medical books and more. I hope I answered
right.
your question, brother.
Yeah, yes, you did. And I want to let's dwell into it a little bit more. And I'm going to bring it up from this perspective, and I like your comments on it. You know, I read a day or two ago about a brother, Anthony Lowe, out of California, L.A. County, a brother, double amputee, no legs, cops shot him dead. What information, the young brother, what information do you see yourself sharing such that some of our brothers and some sisters, all right, are not faced with that dilemma of life and death when they confront a police officer? How can what you've been talking about help that situation?
Yeah, when we recreate amongst ourselves high culture mindsets and our own education, we would, as Brother Baruti said, consciously applying knowledge. But it's got to be right knowledge, and we've got to take control and build our own communities and our nations where we would be less likely to be caught in a situation like that brother and many other brothers and sisters. And we've got to do it in every area that we possibly can, because it's unlimited, including spiritually, because spiritually we can create an energy that will attract much better things towards us. And that's something that the ancient ones did, and any of us that could elaborate about experiences that we've had, whether it was with people, and it can apply to the police and it can apply to animals and other things. And we've got to also, as we rise up with right knowledge and not useless information and useless credentials, we would just be building a pride that would just be a part of us that will carry us successfully in better ways. And so we've got pride, the pride in our culture, our history, our spirituality, all of that. And in the meantime, if we don't have that, then what we're doing is our minds are actually contaminated with some information that is information that others laid out as in their curriculum there to mislead us and keep us not as at a high level. So like I mentioned earlier, the miseducation of the Negro, one of the things that Carter G. Woodson wrote in that book was that the public school systems were set up to break the self-esteem of Black children at an early age, and especially Black males. And so we've got to counter that and make sure that we are giving them proper evidence-based historical, cultural, spiritual information about whatever that may be.
Thank you, brother. For the family, if you wish to join this conversation, please, you can call in at 929-477-2789. Press the 1 on your keypad, and that will let us know that you're ready to engage with your question or comment. That's 929-477-2789. Or you can go to our website, which is www.uslifting.us.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, click on the icon, which has Dare to Win radio station on it, and then just scroll up, click the tab, and you'll be able to listen to us online. Brother, I think that we see now that what you have laid out, and I hope the family is conscious of this, is that being in a right spiritual mindset and setting can always reduce the tension when confronted with the opposition whose objective is not necessarily to bring public safety to the environment in which they are patrolling, but more like an occupation force. All right? Their job is to go around and enforce the occupation. Keep that in mind. Their job is to go around and enforce the occupation. If that was not so, why would we be getting shot? Why would an amputee with no, you know, two of his legs, bottom part of his legs gone, you know, jumping off of his wheelchair, he had a knife, all right, but, you know, they had guns and tasers, felt the need that they had to shoot him dead, all right, as a consequence of the behavior. So we have to internalize this. Being in that kind of captured setting, all right, I know it doesn't lend itself, but some way we have to stimulate, all right, in that environment, all right, the need that Brother Thurman just talked about, a spiritual setting within ourselves, within our mind, such that we can go through and convert the police if we confront them. That's a huge objective, but that's a possibility. And I've been in a setting where that has happened. You know, you produce those with calmness. And, you know, they come aggressively at you, but you don't have to go aggressively towards them. And we're only talking about a few minutes to dissolve and get out of that situation altogether. Family, if you join this conversation, 929-477-2789. Brother Thurman, I know that you oftentimes speak about, as you talk about this spiritual link and stuff that we're supposed to have, and I know that you always coupled it with trying to maintain a good, healthy flow, a good, healthy diet. You have anything that you can add to us to complement, you know, the spiritual focus that we need to have as we go throughout our community, which helps to set the tone as we begin to set up the machinery later on, as we begin to do the things that us lifting us, which was brought here to do.
Yes, brother. There's some other things to talk about, but you mentioned diet and its possible, its relationship to our spiritual selves, and it also relates to us. There's a higher level, higher dimensions that we can move up on, and which would just minimize a lot of conflict and danger. Just like when you talked about calmness in the presence of the police and whatever kind of energies like that. That's something that Africans have always known before the invaders ever existed, and they knew that when it comes to being out on the plains of Africa or wherever in Africa, and they've demonstrated it, and they still demonstrate it, you know, where there are warriors, three warriors with spears can create an energy, and it wasn't about the spears. They just had the spears, but it wasn't about the spears, but they created an energy where here there's three, four, five lions feeding on some animal that they had taken out, taken down, and the brothers created an energy that the lions kept watching them and kept watching them. And when the brothers had a uniform, energetic connection with each other, they began to move forward on the lions, not running, but just moving forward. And the lions did a double take, and they like said, "What?" And what did the lions do? They moved out of the way. They left. But that's creating a higher level energy, which is something that we can do. And to create that higher level energy, you know, we've got to have spiritual, cultural practices and rituals. It's like James Small said years ago, you're not African if you're not practicing rituals. But among the rituals that we've got to practice is that all of everything in our life every day should be some ritual that's for the purpose of keeping us spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, and otherwise, and economics comes into the picture, powerful, grounded, strong. And when we have a malnourished diet, when we eat the Nutricide diet, Nutricide, you know, Dr. Africa's book, which means the nutritional destruction of the black race, when you eat the Nutricide diet, the devitalized diet, your mind's eye and your body's function and your energies and your senses are not functioning like they would when you break free and get into natural, energetic foods, plant-based foods that will help the people to reopen their mind's eye so that now that they can see better, see much better and more than, and not limited to just their two eyeballs. And with that, it elevates your spiritual being. And we're doing an injustice to ourselves by consuming what we have been programmed and the advertisement and all of the promotions and the restaurants that are serving things that's against life. And we've got to break free of all of that. And if we don't, we just continue to be at the mercy of others. And they've got us tricked and deceived in so many areas. And there's a brother called the Minister of Health, and you can find him on the social media, including, but one of his videos, short video, I won't play it right now, but he says that multi-million dollar hospital buildings with no healing going on, and I repeat that, these are multi-million dollar hospital buildings with no healing going on. They're doing some medical practices, but healing, he says, no healing going on. And then he goes on to say, HOSP, H-O-S-P, means death. And ETAL, I-T-A-L, means center. Then he goes on to say, a hospital is a death center. HOSP means death, and ETAL means center. And a hospital is a death center. The evidence, this is not something that he just dreamed up. He can speak extensively on that. And as I said, his name is the Minister of Health. And we've got to be mindful of all of the things that they're doing constantly in all subject areas that's against life for us, the entire ecosystem, and the universe. And one of them that is in the news is GM, genetically modified corn, that's been the setup to stop man from spreading his seed or stop the viability, the life force that brings forth when man passes his seed to the woman. And they've created the ultimate genetically modified crop, which is called contraceptive corn. Contraceptive corn. And it's to prevent pregnancy, pregnancy prevention by way of plants like corn. And you can look this up. It's more to that, but it's a real serious anti-life matter. And we've got to break into everything that we can to take control, grow our own medicine. See, our food is supposed to be our medicine, our nutrition and our medicine, depending on which of the plant-based foods you're dealing with, you know, the herbs, the vegetables, and the fruits. But it's a medicine. Grow your own medicine, preserve your own medicine, meaning you can preserve it in many, many ways, and one of them is called tinctures, where you can take plants, herbs, for example, and put them in a alcohol solution that will extract from the herbs the potency and the benefits of that herb in a small tincture that you can just take a few drops when you need it, or if you've got some routine that you would follow, that you would do, you know, 3 or 4 drops or more, two times a day for 10 days or 30 days. And we must come back to where we have loving and harmonious relationships, trusting relationships with each other, where we can trade and barter with each other. We can learn how to prepare food from scratch, save our own seed, and become self-sufficient. So when we're growing our own food and we're growing abundant amounts of food using natural methods, organic methods, then oftentimes with a good season, or maybe even the average season, if there's nothing, no unusual situation where, for example, there was no rain or things like that. And even if in some instances where it doesn't rain, when we talked earlier about spiritual practices, ancient Africans, and there's still Africans that still know how to get the universe to cooperate when they needed rain. And there's a book that came out in the 70s, and a brother, one of the many things that was in this book, it was called, I believe the title of the book was Black Anger, but it was a lot of messages in there. He came from a village in Africa that was known for many generations as having healers, and the elders taught him, and he had left his village and he was going on a long journey. And in his long journey, he came to a village and the people welcomed him in and offered him water, which was one of the customs of our people, and it still is with some of us. And they talked to him and they told him, said, look, you see our crops are dying. And if we don't get rain, our village won't have food to eat. And they asked him, can you help us? And he said, yes. And so he did a ritual that he had been taught by his elders, and his ancestors been doing it for a long, long, long time. And it rained for days, and they were so thankful. And one of the statements that he made at some point later in another location was that when African people practiced their spirituality and their culture, when they needed it to rain, most of the time it would rain. But then he said, when African people abandoned their culture, abandoned their spirituality, if they needed it to rain, it normally doesn't rain. And I'm just saying something that's powerful. And there's many, 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 many others would just look strange and say, what? But I'm thankful that I have been in touch with Africans that have actually, you know, demonstrated that in the form of a rainstorm came along. And they focused that energy, that thought, that mindset, and they parted the rain where they were standing. And matter of fact, one instance where a whole city stadium was full of African people, and it started raining, and they did their ritual, and the rain completely stopped in the entire city stadium, but all around it they could see it was pouring down rain. So we've got to get back in touch with our power. And so when we were talking, go ahead, brother.
No, I thought you had stopped. I wanted you to, continue on.
Yes, I will.
Family, if you want to join this, 929-477-2789 and just hit 1, and then you can get involved and join the conversation. Go ahead, brother. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yes, and so when it comes to the subject of growing nutritious, nourishing food and saving food, save your seed, become self-sufficient, then we would delve into all kinds of ways that our people have known, including underground, in the ground, underground root cellars, things along that line. And these are things like such as root cellars that we taught the others when they came along. Recently, they didn't know anything about it. They didn't know anything about an overhang on a roof, but we did, and we taught that to them. And we've got to get back into food, as I was saying, that we can save, you know, whether it's in the root cellar, whether it's dried and dehydrated, canned, and many other things. And I'm looking at a picture, you know, and I'm not, you know, saying, reading this, you know, just to promote this particular food, but it's, and it's about honey, and honey is the only food that will not rot. A jar of honey may remain edible for over 3,000 years, but in terms of survival strategies that we must be into, that's just something to keep in mind. It does not rot. And go right ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say that is an important piece of information to know. Some of you on the call right now may know it. If you did know that, you know, because I always keep a jar of honey, you know, raw honey around, all right? I usually have it when I have my tea or if I needed to take a spoonful of it in the morning for energy throughout the day, and it lasts. So I'm saying it has its fundamental. It has its purpose. We all know that the bees who help create the honey, you know, we know that there's been a decrease in the number of bees as a consequence of a bunch of other stuff that is happening by commercial farming and what have you. So this information is important. Please call in at 929-477-2789 to contribute to the conversation, particularly if you have information regarding this. Have anything to discuss with Brother Thurman, anything you wanted to add, we're open to that. Brother Thurman, let me not direct you off of that, because I think that's an important subject, and we need to have our people focus on that. But talking about health, I just was looking at a program today, and that program, naturally, because it's still in the news, got back to COVID and the vaccines created supposedly to suppress the outbreak of COVID. And it happened that the data that has been gathered throughout the world, but it's not readily exposed to the world, but it has been gathered. You can get these out of peer review that the Europeans use whenever he conducts research, which shows that there, after the inoculation, there are more people getting sick than those who did not get inoculated. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I can. It's not difficult without being with a microscope and doing scientific research to know that the whole concept there, thing of vaccinations is toxic, it's not safe, and it's not necessary, because up to this point there's never been an ill, as different Africans including the Twa could say right now, that there's no ill. They know they're teenagers. The Twa, Africans called Twa, ancient people, they know 300 different cures for many, many things, and they say that there's nothing that cannot be naturally and energetically cured. And so we're following the wrong path to be involved in that vaccination thing. It's from the way their process of doing that is anti-life, and so it disturbs the strength and the viability of your wellness, and you're putting yourself at risk to take it. And those who have not are having a much better result. So the same thing is just like those who have gotten into natural health, natural growing of food and things like that, they're getting much better results. And then you take the ones that's following the standard European diet, they're getting not good results at all. They're subject to taking these medications and these pharmaceutical, unnatural medications and injections that was not meant for us to ever have in our body. There's things that just wasn't meant to be. It's out of order. And when we get back involved in natural health, natural thinking, and all of those things, we would be able to maintain our health without going through those changes. And it's like a sister wrote recently, And we've got to be for real about things. We've got to get the fakery out. We've got to be about everything that's in our greatest good. That's another term that the Africans used, ancient Africans used, as a measuring tool of whatever it is that you're focusing on. Is it in the greatest good? And what the sister wrote recently was that your conduct, mood, and appearance often correlates with your diet. But we got to be for real about that. We got to be for real about the majority of the funerals that people go to. If they really ask themselves, what did they die from? A whole bunch of them died because of their conduct, their mood, and their diet. And if they had it naturally in order, a lot of those folks wouldn't have made that transition when they did. They wouldn't have suffered like they did. And there's just record of lots and lots of African people all over the world that are having a totally different experience on a high level of being freed up of doctors and freed up of medications and freed up of surgery because they learn the higher level lessons about nature and the universe and spirituality included. And otherwise, if we took the opposite approach and say, well, I'm going to eat my bacon and cheese and cola anyway, then it's saying that you're not concerned about the destruction of African civilization. You're okay with us just being sick and the increase in the kidney dialysis centers and all of the toxins that it creates and all of the money that they make off of us eating the bacon and the cheese and the cola. And so we've got to be for real about it. It's like the book of Nutricide that I mentioned. It had a tombstone and it had wreaths around it. The wreaths were donated and the wreaths had dollar bill insignias on it. And the wreath said, thank you. And why was it saying thank you? Because the wreaths were donated by the meat, the sugar, and the lard companies, and they were thanking Mr. and Mrs. Negro who ate themselves to death for giving them lots mm-hmm. and lots of money, making them very wealthy mm-hmm. while you ate yourself to death and caused a lot of distress for your family also.
Mm.
And that's serious.
Yes, sir.
That's serious. It's, we got to love each other. But like I said, that when it comes to the plant medicine and herbal medicine, there's one called ashwagandha that has many benefits, including helping male health, but it also has anti-stressor effects that help reduce anxiety. And so in this world that we're living in, anxiety, stress is coming from many places, and we can counter those stresses, but we got to know how to do it. But in the meantime, as we are de-stressing our lives and taking on a different lifestyle, including more calmness, as you mentioned earlier, and meditation and things like that, there are plant-based herbs and foods that will just put you in a calm mindset. Not a drugged-up mindset, just a calm mindset. Ashwagandha is one of them. It's spelled ASHWAGANDHA, ashwagandha. And there's ginkgo biloba that also helps calm the mind and helps brain function also. So why should we be going to that hospital that the Minister of Health talked about, which is a death center? We shouldn't. And so Sister Ancestor Ida Keeling, K-E-E-L-I-N-G, they lived to 107 years old. But at 107,
mm-hmm.
because she said when she was in her 90s, I intend to never stop moving. And at 107, she could still tie her shoe and could still run probably the 50-yard dash.
Right.
But we've got to change our mindset and get the low level of foolishness out of the way. And it's there waiting for us to come and get it. And those that are moving forward on those kind of things, they're having very good results. But we got to get all of this brainwashing out of the way. We got to get these European concepts out of our head. We've got to counter whatever they put in place. So a European named W.E. Deming wrote years and years ago, a bad system will beat a good person every time. So why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a system. It's a system. Yeah, it said a bad system, but it's a system. So we've got to realize that developing a process or system has to start somewhere, and I'm speaking on our behalf, and the process for gaining freedom started the day slavery started. The process for gaining freedom, meaning that we should have been about going after freedom the day that that enslavement started. And we've got to make our sacrifices and realize that we've got to have a system, or otherwise they will continue to kill us and deprive us and all of those things. So the system is the reason that that person made that statement that about a bad system. And he went on to say, in the same mindset, one of the Rothschilds said, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." And so when they are controlling the money of a nation, they're not concerned about the laws in a major way, because the major thing that they've got is power by way of having lots and lots of money that can buy them people with arms that will enforce their way, or have their way, or if not, attack you and drop bombs on you. And we've got to get all of the things that's got us duped and deceived out of our head, or else, so as one brother said, if you keep them busy with basic needs like survival, they will forget about the freedom they lost. So keep us in survival mode, hungry, don't have enough funds, don't have adequate shelter, clothing, and food, and all of that stuff. They will forget about freedom that was lost because they entered this survival mode. And we've got to change that. And along the way, we've got to stop imitating and mastering the ways, including the degenerate ways of Europeans, because then we'll think that when we have accomplished through this European model of things, including capitalism, that we've made it. But we haven't freed ourselves, so we haven't made it. We just have achieved some comfortable oppression in some, so we've got to do that. That means what we got to do to counter that is open up our own schools, as we were talking about earlier. Open up our own hospitals, our own banks, and grow our own food. But none of it from the European model of things. We have our own schools that's teaching us properly, but we have proud, high self-esteem children. And so years ago, one of the African-centered schools, they had children that were 12 and 13 years old that was being recruited by Harvard and Yale and all of these schools because they were such geniuses already at 12. Some of them were graduating from school and going to college at 12 or 10 years old. We have it in us. We have genius in us. Most every time an African woman gives child to a baby, it's a genius that has come forth, but yet we don't recognize it because we're not paying attention to the pollution of the mind and body that is laid on that child's mind and body when it, either before and while it was in the womb and when it came out of the womb. And so we never recognize that genius that came forth, but they're coming forth all of the time. We got to have our own hospitals where we're doing natural and energetic form of healing that wouldn't involve no poisons like chemotherapy and these poisonous toxic vaccines and things along that line. It's not necessary. We can eliminate the kidney dialysis. We can eliminate the high blood pressure, the diabetes. We can eliminate that. We can eliminate a whole lot of eye issues. And we could do it very quickly, not 100 years from now, very quickly.
Right. And Thurman, let me add this, because I think you're saying something extremely important, And again, this I'm reflecting back when I was reading earlier today of a European. The interesting thing about this European, he lived around, he was a scientist, 1920 and 1930 in that area, all right? And he developed a technique. He developed a technique in which he says he could cure, and he showed it. He proved it. He could cure cancer without necessarily administering any drugs. As you're saying, you don't need the drugs. In fact, if you take any, I don't care what it is, the only drug that you can take right now and not have a label on it which tells you all of the horrifying things that it can do to you, all right, is the vaccines, because they don't have anything and they don't want to tell you what's in it. So they don't have an insert, all right? All right, but all the other drugs have inserts, all right? And if you read through it, some of the information in the insert will tell you that the drug can kill you. All right. Now, am I lying? Am I lying? You all seen it. You can look at aspirin. Look at Tylenol.
Yeah, sure.
You know, yeah. All right. Look at those things. We're not jiving, you know. I mean, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, as Brother Thurman is elucidating on, is that if you became well, and Brother Thurman talks about wellness all the time, if you became well, what would happen to the healthcare industry? It's an industry now. Remember now, you have to pay. And the insurance industry, what would happen to it if you could become cured, all right, and that all you had to do was go outside into the forest or the fields and get your herbs if you felt a little discomfort? What would happen
to
that industry?
It would collapse.
Go ahead, Thurman.
The kidney dialysis centers were closed. As a brother wrote in the last couple of years or so, he said, with the exception of you falling and breaking your neck, we should never have to go to a hospital. And I even questioned that we would have to go if we broke our neck, because there have always, always have been African healers out there, and it's unlimited what they could accomplish. We don't need kidney dialysis centers. We just need a lifestyle change. And if we don't do that, then we're doing that. And we've got to have our mind's eye open. And we got to grow our own food, but we got to be mindful. It's just like I was reading, listening to a video today that was about animal manure and cow manure. And it was revealed that there's a chemical, a herbicide chemical called Grazon, G-R-A-Z-O-N, that's sprayed on hay and on the farm fields. And when you buy hay to use for compost and for mulching, a lot of it is poisoned with this Grazon that stays in the food source and the earth and the compost included for a period of time. And it will destroy some of your garden included. But most of the people don't know that. So they're spreading the manure because they think the manure is good, but they don't know that it's contaminated with some other stuff that they didn't tell you about. And so we've got to awaken and stop the foolish and destructive ways against ourselves. And one of our elders of Us Lifting Us, Baba Hakima, wrote some time ago, and I just want to continue to repeat it, the greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. And if we get sick constantly, and our family for generations get sick, it's because we're busy doing the wrong thing. And if we're going after something that somebody else implanted in our mind as some kind of spiritual value, and it doesn't take us anywhere, we're still being attacked, then we're doing the wrong thing. And we've got to change that, get our minds on the black side of the chessboard, and when the ones on the other side make a move, we counter that move to stop them from checkmating us. But we've got to do that in all subject areas. Economically included, the capitalistic is a war machine. We got to get away from that war mindset and supporting it and thinking that it's okay. And it's like several days ago on Us Listening Us Facebook page, there's a piece that shows a stealth bomber plane dropping a bunch of missiles. And there's people that support that, but the message that came that's below the bomb said, any intelligent fool can make things bigger, more complex, and more violent It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. I mean, move in the opposite direction to stop the killing, stop the violence, to stop watching killer cussing movies and feeding that to the minds of our babies. We've got the opportunity to rise to that higher level. And we got to see through stuff. So Ethiopia is to launch its third and fourth satellite into space. Now, some people say, oh, that's good. Africa's on the move. They're launching satellites. But they haven't given thought to how much pollution is and destruction is done to the ecosystem of this planet and the atmosphere to send some more of the already thousands of pieces of space junk that's flying around. So we just got to really think about the why of whatever we do.
And especially we don't need to necessarily copy what the Europeans have done, because it's leading to sickness, disaster, and war. Since World War II, the United States has always been at war. Okay, all right. It does it now by having police action or whatever they call it, where they don't need to have a declaration of war from the Congress. You used to have a declaration of war. Tell me, United States got troops all over the place. All right, it's engaged in supplying and fueling wars all over the place. Wars is not making you healthy. War is killing you. All right, and then unfortunately, a lot of our people, you know, look at their immediacy and don't see the tragedy that's being created. The United States is arming, all right, to keep the war fueling in Ukraine. All right, it's fueling that war. The United States has troops in Africa. It's fueling the conflict in Africa. All right, because it makes money by selling us our arms, killing black people, all right, Asian people, as long as it makes money, all right, and as long as it can make control. Brother, I really appreciate you informing us of those things. Time seemed to be running out just when you get ready to throw up some more information. But we really, really appreciate you coming here. Family, if you want to make a difference, then you go to usliftinguscom. All right, usliftinguscom. You can join us next month. All right, become a member if you're not a member. All right, at the convention. All right, you can join us every Thursday at 9 o'clock. All right, you can call us. You can we got an email that you can communicate with us. We can talk to you. You can join us, become a member, get involved. All right. We're going to have a number of things happening in this year. We want you to stay tuned. We want you to become part of it. The way you become part of it is to stay informed. One of the ways you can stay informed is to make sure that you'll be here next week and the weeks after, or go to the website. Brother Thurman, it's always a pleasure when we're on to welcome you to the program. Look forward when we can come together again. But thanks a lot for informing us on what's in the news for this month. All right, take care, everybody, and goodbye.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you, family. Mm-hmm.